Welcome to the MJA podcast. I'm chatting today with Associate Professor Denise Playford, who is a medical educator at the Rural Clinical School of Western Australia, and also with Professor Ian Putty from the School of Medicine at the University of WA. Welcome, both of you, and thank you for your time.
Good to talk with you.
You've both co-authored some research on rural practice, specifically what makes medical students turn into rural practicing doctors. Why did you decide you needed to do the research?
I guess the Commonwealth has been concerned for some time with the lack of locally trained medical graduates that work out in the regions of Australia. Certainly in Western Australia, 50% of the GP workforce is international medical graduates, and it's not considered to be sustainable in the long run for many reasons.
I guess one of the major reasons for doing this particular bit of work, though, was to really ask the question, is the government's investment in rural clinical schools around Australia, mm-hmm. which has been a large-scale investment and now over more than a decade Australia-wide, has it been money well spent? And by well spent, we're really saying, has it been money that has led to more practitioners who've had that immersion experience in a rural clinical school opting for rural practice once they've graduated?
Been a lot of contradictory evidence, if you like, about why or how medical students turn into rural doctors, hasn't there, both here and overseas?
There has been, I guess, because of methodological issues. Mm. For example, there was a long period of time when people looked at intention for yes. rural practice, taking that as a proxy for what we've now discovered really is actually quite a meaningless variable. But so the intention didn't necessarily translate into rural practice. So you're right, there was a lot of contradictory data because for some people it did and for some people it didn't.
Tell me why this study is a bit different.
Because we had the elegant solution of a database that had been with a great deal of foresight put in place by the deans of Australia and New Zealand, looking at student variables when they came into medical school before they had any experience, before anything had influenced them. So at the very outset, what their practice and their characteristics were. So we were able to use question 20 of that survey that looked at intentions for future rural practice, which, because they were coming in fresh, was an unbiased estimate of their actual intention. We had the benefit of, I guess, it was cross-matched, first of all, with the RCS registration, so who had done the rural clinical school mm-hmm. and who hadn't within the medical school. And then we were also able to use another unbiased estimate of practice in terms of the APRA Health Professional Registration Authority database. And again, you know, we've done a lot of work in the process of getting to this very clean paper. So previously, we, along with other people, also used survey results, asking students, where are you working each year, collecting data? And those kinds of papers are still being published. But we showed quite clearly a couple of years ago that people who are surveyed are more likely to be positive about rural practice because they're more likely to be in rural practice. Whereas APRA, which simply asks people where their location is in a different way relating to their registration, yeah, showed much lower rural work.
So tell us about your participants and the results you came up with.
So this is benefit of having worked with Ian on a database that includes all medical graduates from the beginning before rural clinical school started. So a genuine control population who didn't do RCS,
yes.
And we had a population of people who had done the rural clinical school. And we asked what the workforce outcomes were stratified by their original intention and their participation in RCS. Then we were able to follow through each of those separate streams to see how many of them actually ended up in rural workforce. And it was very clear that none of the streams substantially increased rural workforce except the rural clinical school stream for those who had pre-existing interest.
So if they not only had pre-existing interest and went to an RCS, then the chances were much better that they'd end up in rural practice.
Yeah, so you ended up with 35% of people from, for example, from a rural background who had original interest and did RCS, 35% went on to become rural doctors, according to APRA.
That effect of rural background has been very well documented
yes.
for more than two decades, originally, of course, from a lot of work done by Rabinowitz and colleagues in the United States. And some people have said it's that rural background effect. In other words, you come from the rural area rather than urban before you enter medical school, that has been the major determinant of whether you end up in rural practice. They've also suggested that people who come from a rural background will come into the medical school with intent, and they will also come into the medical school and choose to go into the rural clinical school. So the argument has always been, well, do you really need to do anything other than select more rural students when you're going through the process of recruiting into a medical school? And what this study has now shown rather uniquely is that whether you're coming from a rural background or an urban background, if you have an intent to practice rurally,
yes,
when you enter the medical school and then you go to an RCS, that's where the money is. In other words, that's where you'll see an actual interaction between rural clinical school immersion and that intent. But if you come in with intent and don't go to the rural clinical school, you do not end up with an augmentation of the number of graduates who will end up rural.
And that's, of course, where the value of the RCS shows up, doesn't it?
Indeed.
Talk to me a little bit about socioeconomic disadvantage and that as a factor in all of this.
Well, we've looked carefully at all of the graduates of our medical school since 1980, and we've used their postal address at entry as a surrogate for their socioeconomic background. That's done via census data, where the Bureau of Statistics generate what they call an index of relative socioeconomic advantage and disadvantage,
yes,
the so-called ERSAD score. And for many years, of course, it's been well known that 80% of medical students in Western countries have come from the highest two socioeconomic deciles, with only 20% coming from the lower socioeconomic deciles. We've, over the last decade at UWA, seen an emerging trend, probably as a result of a number of initiatives, but among them, increasing rural student recruitment. We've seen that we have widened that access, and we now have a 60-40 split. So 60% come from the highest two socioeconomic deciles and 40% from the lower eight. And so we are, through rural student recruitment, at least as one avenue to increasing diversity, seeing change in the background. And rural students generally come from a more disadvantaged socio-educational background,
yes,
than their compatriots.
It is really interesting, yeah, because not only so that the effect then is both for urban and rural students from disadvantaged backgrounds, that they tend to go back and work in areas of disadvantage. So it's not just a rural effect, it's also, you know, the outer metropolitan disadvantage and the poor areas within within cities. So the selection of these diverse students really is having flow-on workforce effects,
right,
across the board.
We've actually previously published that there's about a 60% increase in the odds of you choosing to practice in an area of socioeconomic disadvantage if you came from an area of socioeconomic disadvantage at entry to medical school. So there is obviously an equity issue here, where you want to have the medical student population representative as far as possible of the broader community. But when you can also understand that by widening that access and increasing the recruitment of students from those lower socioeconomic deciles, you actually end up serving the whole,
yeah,
of the medical community, whole of the Australian community. So it has two aspects to it. One, just fairness, but the other, it's common sense.
I'll explore that a little bit in the discussion, just in terms of, because nobody has looked at why rural students go back. What is it that their experience draws them? And so we just speculate a little in the paper that it's their experience of disadvantage that creates in them some sort of fellow feeling or some sort of sense that they want to be able to make a difference,
yeah,
in their career.
A very personal motivation, it sounds,
yeah,
like. Yeah. Is the answer to best build more rural clinical schools?
I'm not sure that we need to build more.
Yes.
I think in Western Australia, we have probably the most dispersed medical school in the world. In other words, a third of Australia is Western Australia, and our rural clinical school has 14 sites from way up north, and in the Kimberleys, three sites, and then right down to the south coast and out to Albany and Esperance. So it's quite a distinctive rural clinical school compared to others in Australia in its relative remoteness. But we would, in this state, think that the important thing is to actually expand the opportunities for rural training within the existing rural clinical school.
Yes.
So we could set up more nodes if there was more money and more opportunity to recruit students. In fact, at the moment, we do not fill all the we get more applications for the rural clinical school than we're able to actually accept. It's an opportunity that is out there begging, and if there was more resources for more nodes, and they are not cheap, I think it would be a very wise way to recruit and train students that are more likely to ultimately work rurally. Mm.
The other thing you've got to think of is just the fragility of the rural environment. So the whole reason for wanting to train more doctors is because there's not enough out there. So there's a limit to how many students you can put out and get mentored in some of the dispersed sites. So we work continuously with this kind of delicate balance of producing more rural doctors, but also being mindful of the fact that the doctors who are there are working very full time, to say the least.
One of the things that we have also tried to look at over time has been, what is it about rural students that leads to them opting to go rural? And we've also asked, is it a consequence of the way we selected the students in the first place? Are we putting barriers in the way of rural students through our use of interviews, our use of aptitude tests, and our emphasis on high academic quality? And the answers that we've got to this point in time have been that it is important that you do quarantine spaces within your medical school for rural students.
Right, yes.
So rather than just say rural students will compete against urban students and you end up with a defined percentage, you actually need to say there will be this many places within your medical school for rural background students. And we've found that by that quarantine approach, we've actually seen the entry scores for rural students go up year on year. So I think there is an aspect here of aspiration, building an environment that says you can be a part of the medical community. You can aspire to be a doctor or a dentist, no matter where you come from in Australia. And that with that, addressing what people sometimes call aspirational poverty amongst potential rural students, we've noticed over time, and we haven't published this yet, but we've noticed over time that that we are recruiting students who are actually far more competitive than they were a decade ago.
You could all apply that theory to Indigenous students too, I suppose.
Look, I think aspirational poverty exists amongst Indigenous students. It exists amongst refugees.
Yes.
It exists amongst students who have English as a second language. It exists, of course, in outer metropolitan Western Australia and lower socioeconomic urban areas.
So this means talking to high school students, doesn't it? It means encouraging them to believe that this can actually be done.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we rely heavily for both our Indigenous student recruitment program and our rural student recruitment program, and more recently a program where we define places for lower or disadvantaged high schools students, a program we call Broadway. We found that some of our best ambassadors and advocates are the students who've already been recruited into the medical school. So taking them back to their original high schools and getting them to talk to the students.
That's a great idea.
Is possible has been an important aspect of this program.
Yeah, and I think that's also why rural clinical schools are important, because they increase the social capital, the intellectual capital in the sites that they're living and working in.
Yes.
Because they come part of the community and the families and kids can see that these are medical students that are not so different from themselves. And it also impacts on the rural doctor retention as well, to belong to a program that's as proactive and positive as this is, because it's quite quite an amazing thing to work with these young medical students.
What role do the colleges play?
One of the things that we really do need to do in Australia, now that we've got the Australian Medical Dean's Outcomes Database, and databases like our own within the medical school, we need to see what opportunities there are to join them up to the colleges. We are starting to only really just appreciate where our graduates are at the present time, where they're training and where they're located. But in terms of what it is that takes them into different specialties and how much those specialties dictate their location of practice, we're not joined up with the colleges. We don't have that that data that links us all the way through. There's been some emerging large-scale studies in the UK that have joined up every UK medical school and are now joining up those medical schools to each of the colleges within the UK. So we are going to see interesting data emerge from the UK.
Yes.
And there's a definite large opportunity for us to do the same thing here in Australia.
Reflecting on Ian's comments about the colleges and your question, I mean, obviously there's a missing link, so that when students finish, they have to come to the city to do internships in Western Australia. There's only 10 that can be done rurally. So that's a big loss. You know, we bleed back into the urban kind of college network for that reason.
So yes, we have a poverty of rural training pathways.
Well, thank you both for your time. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for the opportunity.